the 10 keys to loving yourself like God loves you. Wow, that is a very, very interesting subject matter. Nicole, can you tell me, how did you come about bringing up this topic? What made it so important to you, loving yourself?
Well, you know what? It's because it's one of the topics focused the most on by the world and neglected the most by the church. And it is yet the foundation of almost everything in life, is the ability to love yourself. Even God working with you depends on your love of self, that you believe you are who God says you are. And when I was discussing it, originally I was having a conversation with someone who was struggling with self-love. And this is a Christian person you think would know the difference. And they said, I went through this whole spiel, and they said, well, why do you have to love yourself?
Oh, wow.
And it kind of stopped me, because it was like, everybody knows you have to love yourself. Whoever asked that question?
Right, right.
And I realized I didn't have an answer, because it was so assumed.
Wow.
So I had to go back and think about it. And when I thought about it, I said, it's just like being in a relationship with someone who doesn't love themselves. When they do not love themselves, you spend the whole relationship building them up, building them up, building them up. And you're drained, and you guys can never move forward in the relationship.
You're tired.
Because you're tired.
You're tired. Too tired to love now.
And you cannot make someone love themselves. That's a choice they have to make.
Wow.
With God, it's the same thing. If he has to spend our entire relationship building me up, how can he and I ever do anything?
Right. You can't get to what it is he wants you to do.
You cannot get to your...
In the first place, your original purpose, because he's spending too much time on the other.
Yeah, you can't get to your purpose and destiny because you don't believe him when he says you have purpose and destiny.
Because there's no love.
There's no love.
Is like mind-blowing to me that someone would even ask, why do you have to love yourself? I mean, you think, of course, we all love ourselves, right? But obviously not, and that's how we're coming to this topic. Can you just kind of go through the 10 keys here so we can get an idea of how we can love ourselves?
Well, I'm going to go through them quickly.
Okay.
And then I'll go back and elaborate a little bit
later
on. But the first one is spending time with God. Stop defining yourself by your past. Forgive yourself and others. Accept the fact that no one is perfect. Give yourself room to fail and make mistakes. Give yourself permission to love yourself. Focus on the solution, not the problem, which is self-analysis versus self-loathing. Get control of your thought life. Stop hiding. Get rid of toxic people and spend time alone.
Toxic people, wow. Wow.
Do you want me to go ahead and talk a little bit about them?
Yeah, one of the points that you were talking about was kind of interesting, you know, forgiving yourself and making room for mistakes. Because I have to imagine, I know I'm guilty of that. I've done that before. Like, sometimes we can be harder on ourselves than other people when we do something wrong and condemn ourselves. And I imagine in a relationship that we can unconsciously do that to other people, because we're so used to, we have conditioned ourselves to not forgive ourselves and to not make room for mistakes, even though God gives us room for mistakes. And I was reading an article on the subject matter, and it was saying how it's very important, self-talk, how you speak to yourself, the things that you say to yourself. And I know I have done something wrong and said, that was so stupid.
Yes.
And not really thinking, you know, what I'm drilling into my own head to myself is just something that came out of my mouth. But imagine if you say that enough times, that was stupid, or you idiot, or things like that to yourself. What you're doing to yourself is definitely not loving yourself, and that kind of comes into play. So can you break down that for the audience?
Yeah, and actually you touched on several points in there. Let's start with number one, which is spending time with God. And the reason you have to spend time with God is just not traditional that you need to develop a relationship with God. You do. But God loves us unconditionally. He knows everything about you. love ourselves like God loves us, we have to love ourselves unconditionally.
Wow.
And most of us have no concept of what that is. And the only way to learn unconditional love is start spending time with the Father and resting in his love. So that's the first thing. And that kind of starts addressing how you speak to yourself, how you think about yourself, because you're going to start training yourself through reading your word and through spending time with him to speak of yourself like he speaks of you.
There it is.
To think of yourself like he thinks of you. And that will start to change who you are. And then another point you put on there is this idea of when you make a mistake. Mm-hmm. There's lots of people who are going to listen to this. They're going to get everything, right? They're going to forgive others. They're going to not be bound by their past. They're going to be changing everything, and life's going to be good for a moment.
Temporary.
And then they're going to make a mistake. And then the whole cycle's going to start over again because they made a mistake. And that's why I say give yourself permission in advance to make a mistake.
Okay.
Because it's going to happen. And God does not expect perfection. He expects trust. That's all he wants. So when you make a mistake, when you fail for the 100th time, you go running to him. Let him bandage you up and then put you right back out there.
Wow, yes.
And then the last one you brought up, which is forgiving self and forgiving others. You know, it's amazing. But people, you have to realize when you do not forgive yourself, you essentially call God a liar. Because
wow.
God says, when you do something wrong and you repent, I forgive you and it doesn't exist anymore. When you keep bringing it up, you are saying, I know you said you forgive me, but I don't believe you. So I'm going to keep carrying these chains around with me as if you haven't broken them off.
Wow.
And
this is really, really deep, the things that you are saying, because it seems like we, as human beings, Christians, as people, we have problems with relationships in general, and that's so widespread because relationships, friendships, your family, people that you work with, people at church, you and your children, you and your parents. I mean, everybody is in some kind of relationship. So if we don't know what to do with ourselves,
we can't
and have the most important relationship with God, then we're not going to be able to function properly in society with all these other relationships.
Yeah, and when you do not have self-love, when you do not have self-definition, which is I'm not defined by you or my relationship with you. I'm defined by my relationship with God. When you don't have that right, you will have constant friction in relationships because you are seeking to get from another person what you cannot get. Another person cannot make you feel good about yourself 24 hours a day. That's not their function, and they are incapable of it. They got their own issues.
Wow.
So you got to take care of self. And when you love yourself, if someone says something that's a little ambiguous, it could be interpreted to hurt your feelings or not hurt your feelings. When you do not love yourself, you automatically interpret it that they meant to say something bad about me.
Oh, my goodness. That brings me to something where, sometimes it's like man and a woman, you're in a relationship, you get into an argument, husband says something to the wife. This is my experience. And sometimes I think you assume that they meant it a certain way because of how you think, which has to do with how you feel about yourself. So you're automatically assuming that others are thinking certain things about you or saying certain things about you because of what you deeply underneath think about yourself. And so it comes off the wrong way. So that's really deep when we're talking about self-love. If you don't have it and you're making all these assumptions, you're breaking relationships and breaking ties with people and burning bridges with people just because you don't have a certain understanding within yourself. That is really, really deep.
So you will pick relationships based on how you think about yourself. And if you think you are nothing, you will constantly place yourself in relationships that perpetuate your feeling of being nothing.
That goes, I have heard so many women cry and say, why do I always end up with this kind of man or this guy? Why do they keep coming to me? What is it? Do I got a sign on me that says I am a fool? You can come to me and use me. And that goes to exactly what you were just saying.
Exactly.
Mirrors. We're mirroring ourselves. We, without even knowing it, we're like just attaching ourselves like a magnet to someone who's just like us.
Exactly.
In many ways.
And, you know, one of the things on the list is getting rid of toxic people. And as you start to change your self-image, some of that will happen naturally. Toxic people don't want to be around you except when you're toxic. So they will naturally start to fall off. If you have the wrong frame of mind, if you don't love yourself and your love or thoughts of yourself depends on other people, when they start to fall away, you will start to grab to hold on to them. Because if they don't want to be around you, something's wrong with you. Not something's wrong with them.
Oh.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So part of changing your mind is I don't need you to feel complete. I don't need you to feel good about myself. So when God starts removing you, I can let you go. And also an interesting thing about when people who don't think much of themselves are very sensitive about hurting anybody else's feelings because they know how much it hurts them. So for them to say, you're toxic and I can't be around you, it hurts them to say that about someone else because they know it hurts for anyone to judge them.
So they'll deal with certain things that they shouldn't and stay in certain situations that they shouldn't because they don't want to hurt someone like they've been hurt.
Exactly.
Oh, that's dangerous, though.
It is dangerous. And it's okay. And the example I use, if you're that kind of person, you don't have to think about someone else as a bad person to be able to walk away from them. You don't have to make that judgment on them.
That's important. That's an important thing.
Think about it this way. You have two people in a lifeboat. The shore is about 20 yards away. You can swim. That person cannot. If you both stay in that lifeboat, you're both going to die. If you get out and you swim to the shore, maybe you can save that other person's life once you're on land.
Wow. So you can be even destroying somebody else.
Somebody else's opportunity to get healed because you won't get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Save yourself.
Get to swimming.
And then send help.
Wow.
And that's what you're not making a judgment. You're just saying that person can't swim. And I can.
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
Wow, that's really deep. So we can just sit up here and go back and forth forever. So we want to know if the audience has any questions for Nicole in regards to this. I'll have you read over the 10 keys, and then if you have any questions about any of the keys, please feel free to ask them.
Okay, and I'm going to read over them and give one sentence each so we're all on the same page. Stop to spend time with God. We've already discussed that. Learning God's unconditional love. Stop defining yourself by your past. We've discussed that. Forgive yourself and others. We've discussed that. And I just want to say with forgiving others as well, when you hold on to what someone did to you and you focus on that, you develop a victim mentality, which means you don't control what happens to you. When you forgive that person and release it, you take control back. And that's why forgiveness is really for your own benefit. Accept the fact that no one is perfect and everyone makes mistakes. Give yourself permission to love yourself. On that one, I say this, the church has done a disservice. Humility and self-loathing are not the same thing. Humility is, I know I'm the bomb. I know I'm blessed. But I give glory and honor to God. If you say, there's nothing special about me, there's nothing unique about me, and if God made you, what does that say about God? I don't know about everything he makes is perfection. So if he made me, I am a masterpiece.
Castle.
And so are you.
Yes, yes, yes.
And to realize that and still give glory to God, that is true humility. Focus on the solution, not the problem. If you have a problem, everybody needs to fix stuff. But only think about the problem long enough to identify what you need to fix.
Right.
Then start focusing on the solution. Don't wallow in the problem. Get control of your thought life, those nasty self-hatred patterns in your head. I'm too ugly. I'm too poor. The second you have the thought, sing a song, say a prayer, shake your head, whatever you got to do, eliminate that pattern. Stop hiding. Whatever it is that is your deepest, darkest secret that you're scared that anybody else will find out, that's the one tool that the devil uses to beat you over the head and tell you you're not worthy of God's love or anyone else's love. When you start being able to discuss that openly, you will find not only that people don't necessarily judge you, there will be those who do. They don't count. The others will share your struggle, want to help, have solutions, been there. So stop hiding. Get rid of toxic people. And then lastly, spend some time alone with you and God so you learn to define yourself, not by other people, but by God. Now,
we'll take some questions.
I think it's because there is a fine line. There is a fine line. Okay, we're actually, not everyone heard the question, so we're going to do it again.
Okay, the question is, why is it that in the church we struggle with this kind of information? In the world, we talk about everything, but in the church, we don't talk about everything.
I think it's because there's a fine line between self-love and self-reliance. Self-reliance is not godly. We rely on God for everything. Self-love is godly. And because the church confuses the two, because they confuse, in the world we say, you have everything you need within you. You don't need God. You are God. We are all gods. You can do it yourself. You don't need anybody else. That is self-reliance in a negative way. And because the church is so afraid of that, we go the opposite extreme, which is that you cannot do anything for yourself. And that is not biblical. God made you when you were born. He knew you and called you by name before you were born, which means he equipped you with every skill you need to accomplish your purpose in him. And it's okay to believe that. In fact, that is what he calls you to believe.
Another question? One more question?
I heard you say that I must love myself unconditionally.
Yes.
Very difficult.
That
means love myself like God loves me. Right?
Right.
That's kind of difficult. And I need an antidote to get over all of the years that I've lived. I need an antidote, just a good, solid, strong punch in the face with it.
Mm-hmm.
To say, how do you do that? How can I love myself unconditionally? I know one reason I'm saying this is because of my past.
Mm-hmm.
That has not been a very bright one, I suppose, you know. And it's awful difficult for me, but how? So I need an antidote. That's
yes.
What I'm asking for.
You know, if I could bottle it,
yes.
I'd be a millionaire.
Yeah.
I'd be rich. Right. If I could put it in a little bottle.
Yeah.
And bottle it, I would be rich, because I will tell you this, it is a lifetime struggle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Today you will get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Today you will love yourself.
Yes.
Tomorrow you will mess up something really big,
mm-hmm.
or you will gain 5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
or, you know, some of us are trying to gain weight, not me personally, but there are people out there, so you lose 5 pounds and you're beating yourself up. You will have good days and bad days, but here's the three things that I remember. Start the day in prayer so that God can download into you love. There's a miraculous thing about being loved. It makes you define the whole world by love. Anyone who's ever been in that infatuation love knows when you've had a good day with your mate, you feel good all day. You feel beautiful when you're looking scary. So if you spend time in the morning letting God love on you before you start the day, that is number one. That will equip you. Number two, read the stories of the heroes in the Bible. David was a murderer and an adulterer. Abraham was a coward and a liar. Moses had anger control issues. If you read those stories and you see how God still called David a man after his own heart, there's not too many people in this room who've committed murder, I don't think.
Is there?
You know, I don't know. but putting in perspective... Putting in perspective what you think you've done that is so bad, putting it in perspective, compare it to what David did, and know that God still loved him.
I often do that.
Yes.
I say,
yes.
God, remember Abraham.
Exactly.
Remember Moses. He killed the man.
Exactly.
Right. I do that all the time.
And let me tell the last one.
That's good.
Yeah, and the very last one is, like I said, getting control of your thought life. Most of us, our brains operate like a spoiled child. It thinks whatever it wants to think. It looks at whatever it wants to look at. It's, you know, says to our mouths to say whatever it wants our mouths to say. And you need to stop that. First of all, become very conscious of your thoughts. Do not have a single thought that you don't consciously accept or reject. Most of us don't do that. Thoughts just stream of consciousness, just flowing through our heads. Become very aware of everything you think. And every time you think, you look at someone and you say, wow, she's so pretty. I'm not that pretty. Be conscious of that and say, no, I am perfect the way God made me. Every time you have a thought, oh gosh, if people knew how stupid I really am, say no, stop it. And that was what I was saying. Sing a song, say a prayer. Me, if you ever watch me, sometimes I'm just sitting still and I'll do this. I've had a thought that is not acceptable to me. So I'm physically shaking my head to shake the thought out of my head.
Wow. And this, I don't mean to cut you off. This is just some awesome, awesome information. But we really are out of time. So we have to go. But I want to tell you, if you have any questions, or if you have any comments, you can email us at support@soulfellowship.com. That's support@soulfellowship. I feel like I'm on a key line to be. So support@soulfellowship.com for your questions and your comments. Thank you so much for joining.